Fuck yeah, I was excited when I saw, this happening on an interview. I was like, yeah, we had a good fucking time. That was a while ago. That was years ago now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast.
Sapnin!
Sapnin!
You are listening to episode 283 of Sapnin Podcast, featuring myself, Sean Smith, and my good friend, Morgan Richards.
Yes, I'm Morgan Richards. I don't know why you started talking in a very weird slow-mo. But where I want to be is not near any permanent ring, but a reach for the sun.
There was a fucking reach. I'm glad I went slow motion now for no reason. And I like to think that people listening to this went, what the fuck's going on my phone? Or whatever they listen to this, they were like, what the fuck? It's gone slow. This week's guest is the beautiful and hilarious and super talented AJ Perdomo of The Dangerous Summer.
Do you know, I saw online this week that someone compared you and me to a Sheen version of Wang and Garth.
Oh, that is offensive. I'm Wayne then, and I. Is it? Am I Wayne?
Don't know.
When do you get pubes? Do you get pubes this year?
Last year? Come on, man.
Last year you had pubes. Yeah, you got. Morgan got pubes for the last time for the first time last year. Anyway, yeah, let's stop talking about.
Your
matted, dreadlocked pubic, eh? And let's talk about this week's beautiful, wonderful guest.
Early on, The Dangerous Summer became one of our staple podcast featured guests. Our conversation with them at 2000 Trees 2019 was just bloody absolutely up. Chaotic, and it set the tone for a lot of future episodes. But this band, I mean, bona fide emo pop punk aesthetic legends within the scene, and a band I generally feel so happy listening to. And uses a mind-relaxed escape, really, from reality. Their releases never miss. It's just atmospheric hits, full of emotion in store. And in some circles, I'd even say they're criminally underrated. But throughout this conversation, there's been so much that's happened since the last time we talked that we just catch up on absolutely everything, from industry ins and outs to ridiculous tour stories. And their new album, Gravity, that has come out on June 21st. And the band are coming back to our side of the pond to open up the main stage at Slam Dunk Festival 2024 and a run of headline shows surrounding it in May.
Yes, fantastic. Absolutely fantastic band. Absolutely beautiful frontman in AJ. I'm so glad we got to do this. I can't believe it's been 5 years since we last spoke to him. And I can't remember if we mentioned it on that podcast, but they were, how should we say, on some drugs back then. And, they just started sweating to come up on the drugs on that one back in 2019. So go check that out. That's interesting. But yes, what an absolute brilliant chat. Like you said, we talked everything from how they pick set lists to Slam Dunk labels, friends, and the ultimate lineup that we all need, finally together, Mariah Carey, The Dangerous Summer, and of course, Boys to Men. I don't think I should say any more than that.
Just listen, because you need to hear that story in particular. But I'm excited that they're coming back for Slam Dunk. I'm excited that you're playing with them at Slam Dunk. So it'll be a very, very nice time. Let us know you're listening to this on Instagram and the app formerly known as Twitter at SappeningPod, and get involved with our wonderful Patreon community at patreon.com/Sappening to get your own bunch of beautiful friends who will be there for you no matter what. And trust us when we say that.
Yes, absolute lifesavers, literally. Anyway, Sappening! Oh, I'm just eager to get into this one.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Sappening!
It's happening.
Yes!
Yay! Yes! This week's guest is the beautiful AJ Podomo of the brilliant Dangerous Summer. How are you?
Good, man. It feels good to be here. Yeah, all those years later after our legendary conversation at 2000 Trees, man. And what year was that? Was that 2018, 2019?
2019.
Before the pandemic.
2019, yeah. So what, 5 years? It's almost 5 years ago. Wow. Since we've done this. And that is disgusting to think. Wow. It's been
that
long.
Is awful. Yeah, that is terrible on our part.
How
sorry.
Was your pandemic? Did you guys have a good pandemic?
Yeah, it was good. All the people I didn't want to make it didn't make it. So that was good. No, it was... it was... an adventure, I guess. We learned how we could do. We learned how to podcast via Zoom.
We did. So that was the one thing that came out of it. And
it was probably the best thing that came out of it. Really, was the fact that our first ever one was us and Bert McCracken from The Used while he was in Australia via Zoom.
Oh, so nice.
It's a good learning experience.
I love him. He lives there, right? Does he live there now?
Yeah.
Smart man. It's cool over there, man.
It's very cool over there. It's one of my favorite places on earth, Australia. To me, it feels like the best parts of America and Britain put together. That's how I feel about Australia.
And they don't fight any wars. They're just doing their own shit, man. They're hanging out,
Yeah, there's no one around them to fight, that's why. They just fight each other.
Exactly. Well, fuck yeah.
But after all this time, man, it's so good to see you. I mean, there's so much that's happened. I'm sure we're going to get into all of that. But how are you doing? How's things at the moment? What's going on in the Podomo household lately?
Dude, man, crazy morning, actually. Like, I kind of ran over here, but my catalytic converter got stolen from my fucking car this morning. Someone, what? You know, goes under and fucking hacks this piece off. It's like, what the fuck, man? Like, who knows what they get for these, like, tiny little metal pieces, but it's just, you turn on your car and it sounds like a jet engine. So, like, I, you know, the ramp, but you can drive on it. So I just drove over here and I look like an asshole, but, you know. But everything else good. You know, we got a new album. We are slowly dropping. We have a new single coming out tomorrow. What's an Hour Really Worth? It's exciting. It's good to finally put out some new music after, I think, a year and a half since Coming Home came out. So we're ready to turn on that engine, baby. About to do the slam dunk. Am I going to see you guys at Slam Dunk?
Yes. My band that I was formerly in has reunited, and we are playing the Slam Dunk as well. So.
Wait, what band?
I was going to lie then and just make one up. It's called The Blackout. Don't check it out.
Oh, The Blackout. Yeah, I remember you telling me about. Dude, I love The Blackout. I didn't realize
you
that.
No, you don't. Listen, nobody loves The Blackout.
Now I remember you talking about last time, man. Now I remember it. Wow, so you're going to rip. What stage are you guys playing?
The GoPro stage. That's like,
okay, what time?
One.
What time? I want to come over there.
Like 3:30, I think. 3:25, something like that. Are you
I'll
on,
be there,
you're,
man.
You're on the main stage, right?
We're like 11 a.m., baby. Like, or something like that. 11:55 a.m. or something like that. We're going to be like shotgunning beers behind the stage in the morning.
Yeah. I was going to say, yeah, you could be. That's quite a good time because you can be absolutely wrecked by 1 p.m.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, is it's like, you know, it's dangerous to let the dangerous summer finish early. It's like, hey, now we got the whole day ahead of us.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I'm stoked. It's like vacation for me. I'm going to go watch my favorite bands. Yeah, I'm going to hang out, you know.
I love the idea of you contacting promoters and going, you do realize putting us on at 11 o'clock. We're not called the summer. We're called the dangerous summer. And
exactly.
We will prove that by 1 p.m.
Yeah, and hey, mix us with The Blackout. We got a really good time, man.
Oh, yeah, I can't
wait.
It's going to
be chaos. It's going to be absolutely
chaos. 2 days.
Hell yeah.
While we're talking about Slam Dunk, I mean, you know, when bands talk about their festival sets, of course, they're all excited because it's such a nice time of the year for everyone. But Slam Dunk is actually a festival that means a lot to you in very different ways. And you even name-checked it on the song of the last record. Like, can you talk a bit about that? Because it's got a bit of an emotional connection.
Yeah, an emotional connection. I mean, yeah, we played it like super early on, like probably 2011. And then they asked us back in 2018 when we reunited. And our very good friend, I don't know if you guys know Jamie Osmond. Like, we had a kind of cool group and High Wycombe back in the day. You know, I used to party and the Francesca boys, I don't know if you remember, like, Francesca and stuff, like the good old days, man, the good old days. And we had a whole group, and one of our friends actually, you know, he got brain cancer, and it was really sad. And he knew he was going, and you know, Jamie arranged, you know, one day of just great music. We all hung out, and, you know, like, it was really emotional. You know, we played and then we hung out, and, you know, I had my final talk with him, and it was like a final talk. It was like, hey man, I'm happy. Everything's good. You know, I'm going to leave this place, you know, like, and, it was just an emotional, beautiful moment, you know, like, I don't know how close you guys get to people that have died or whatever, but sometimes when they know, they give you this like piece of peace that you're like, holy shit, like, wow, you feel this this comfort in knowing that it's all over, you know. It was a very profound moment for me in my life in general to have that. And then I in our song Goodbye on Coming Home, I talk about many of the people I've lost in my life, and then yeah, him specifically, one last night at Slam Dunk just before he passed away. And felt like I finally got to say goodbye to him. It was beautiful and amazing. And so, his spirit will be alive there when we play. And beautiful, so beautiful. You know?
Nice. Yeah. He's a good guy, Jamie Osmond.
Yeah, he really is.
Yeah, he's got a podcast now about, I think it's called The Sober Life.
I know, yeah, man. Like, everyone's in the age where they're getting sober now. Jamie Osmond, yeah, he started a podcast about incredible, man. Incredible, you know. Because he used to be on it. He used to be on one. You know, like, he was a fun one to hang out with, and still fun as fuck. But he found the bridge. He found the bridge.
There's a reason his sober podcast is doing so well, because he's gone from literally one extreme to the other. So, fair play to him. And well done. Congratulations to him, because I know it's very, very difficult as well. So,
exactly. I know. Especially, he always said in London, I mean, it's like, you know, the stuff that floats around the bars, it's like water, you know, it's like it's just in and out. It's crazy there, man. Especially in the music industry, like that's where the partying originated, London. I mean, the original rock stars come from London, don't they, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's like with Jamie Osmond, he was managing bands and stuff and DJs. Yeah. So he was just all about at fucking any time of the day, just constantly working and fucking doing stuff. So the fact that he managed to like pull it all together and get sober is actually inspiring, because it must have been so hard to do and being in that world, and now he's more into dance music, I think, than he is into rock. So that's, you know, how would you get away from like 2 a.m. in the morning and your DJ's going on, and you're like, I need to stay awake somehow. How could I possibly do that? Shit!
Yeah, and then he ran a marathon and shit, like, you know, the full health. It's like, yeah, he's batting at 100 now. Damn, you know. I'm at like 25, you know. But good shit, man.
Yeah. Well, it'd be nice to see everyone reunited at Slam Dunk and kind of celebrate life in different ways and stuff, man.
I'm stoked too about Mallory Knox getting back together. Those are my boys too. Man, that's like the band that, why did they go away, man? Like, that was really heartbreaking when they were, you know, at the top of their game, and then it just you know, fell apart. I love those boys and can't wait to see them on stage again.
Yeah.
Well, now you've got a dilemma, because the blackout and Mallory Knox kind of clash. So,
do they?
You're almost friends with.
let's delve into what's going on. What happened? What happened? It's a girl, isn't it?
I mean Clash is in time. No, it's in times on Slam Dunk. It's in times on Slam Dunk.
Clash is people. I thought you were
No. We love Sam and the boys. Like,
do you know what? YouTuber boxing exists. I don't mind giving band boxing a go.
Hey, that would be cool.
Yeah, let's start this off now. Sam from Mallory.
You guys playing at the exact same time?
Or there's a half an hour overlap.
Yeah, we go on 30 minutes before them, I think. But we're doing an album in full. They're going to be playing their best songs at the end of their set, I'd imagine. So that last half hour, whether they're overlapping.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Yeah, you need to advertise that. Say, hey, afterwards you can go. They'll have good songs after we're done. Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like it's a bit bad though, because I wanted to post that, because like loads of people on the Slam Dunk posts have been like, I can't believe the Blackout and Mallory Knox clash. And I've considered posting, listen, we're playing an album in full. Just go, their last songs will be the last 10 minutes. So it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Just come see us and then see them for the last 10 minutes. But I feel like that's a little bit bad. I feel like that's, you know, telling people not to go see Mallory Knox.
Not to interview you, but how do you feel playing an album in full? Are you excited to play your album in full? Do you almost wish you were just playing whatever songs you wanted to? Like, how do you feel about that?
To be honest, I'm just happy we're playing. We could be playing B-sides for all I care. I just want to be playing again. And we just did our first tour for 9 years in February, which was like a mash of all the albums or whatever. So this is our best album, and it's the 15th anniversary of it, so it made complete sense for us just to do that. So there's only one song off that we haven't rehearsed or played since getting back together, so it's not even...
Yeah. Are you going to throw in like one or two extras, or no, just the album and you're out?
I don't think we got time. Like, wow, I think we got like 45 minutes to do a 44 minute album. So some of them songs are going to be fucking quick.
It's double the tempos, man.
I'm intrigued to why you asked that, AJ. Is that something you always find a struggle with if you have to do an album in full? Or
I mean, it's kind of like, man, like promoters love it. And honestly, like I'm cool with it too, but it's like, you know, you reach the backside of even your best albums and you're like, oh, there's that one song. Man, we really have to play that one. You know, like I get to points now where I'm like, you know, like albums are cool, but hey, like there's a reason why we make beautiful set lists, you know, like, especially because, you know, like some fans you kind of alienate, you know, like we did a Reach for the Sun tour and we did Reach for the Sun. We kind of built it as like 10 years under the sun, Reach for the Sun. So we played the whole album and then we did like most of our newest album as well. So like it's like spans the gap. And some people are like, man, I only know the big songs off the first album. But then our diehard fans really get it. So I think there's a time and place. I think that's smart. You do a tour where, hey, you have the whole gamut. You have a little bit of everything. And then have a show where you do that or have like, you know, separate it. I think it was too much for us to do a tour of just that, you know, like because it's, you know, you alienate people, you know. I don't know. Who else are you excited to see? I'm like, man, I've been wanting to see All American Reject since I was like a kid, man. I fucking love that band.
Great band.
I'm surprised you've never done shows together. That would have been like...
Oh, man. They've always been kind of bigger than the scene. Like, you know, like, it's like they kind of blew up past it. You know, Tyson Ritter was doing like movies and stuff. So it's like they kind of felt untouchable. Like they're like Blink-182 where they're like, in their own realm, you know, like, so, yeah, they don't really mix too well with our scene. Like, you know, they don't bring many bands from our scene on tour, or maybe they've just been gone. I have no clue what they've been up to. Like, I don't see much about them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I was lucky enough to tour with them and Blink in 2012 and
no way. Holy shit.
Yeah. They were the more standoffish than Blink.
Really? Wow.
Seeing Tyson was like seeing a golden dove. He was like, what the fuck is that Tyson? It's Tyson Ritter. It's Tyson.
A golden dove.
Get out the way, Travis Barker. I'm trying to look at Tyson Ritter.
Wow. That is an incredible tour. Holy shit. Was that UK? All UK? Or?
Yeah. Yeah. It was.
Wow.
Yeah. Arenas in the UK. And Blink 182 were absolutely fantastic to us because we thought,
wow,
opening band, they wouldn't give a shit. So we turned up on the first day and we were like, can we put a backdrop up? And they were like, oh no, there's an LED screen there. And we were like, all right. They were like, oh, you can put whatever you want on our LED screen.
Oh, so we were like,
this
awesome.
Is fucking brutal. Yeah, so we just made joke backdrops every night. So like in Nottingham, we had Robin Hood, Kevin Costner as Robin Hood saying, yee blackout instead of the blackout.
Oh my god,
we said yee. So there might have been people who'd never seen us but never heard of us who went up and went, yeah, it can't be called yee blackout.
Man, that is a cool fucking tour, man. Yeah, oh my god.
Well, wow. Speaking of random backdrops, I know lately it's been very busy for you with new music and everything, but this last week you've been celebrating your daughter's 10th birthday. And your own like Taylor Swift festival out in the garden and everything like that.
Dude, it was awesome. Yeah, we had a big blow up movie screen and playing the Eras movie. And that's the thing is, man, I grew my daughter up on Taylor Swift. Like, you know, I did well teaching her that, hey, she's the shit. And we had a good time, man. It was really nice. And yeah, it's crazy having a 10-year-old, man. It's like, you know, being in a band from a young age and then now being dad in a band, it's a wild dynamic. It's very different, but I will say it's funny, her friends like come up to me, they're like, hey, can I have your autograph and stuff, like whatever she's saying at school, she's spreading the right word, who knows.
Extra credit, she's just getting extra credit from the teachers, that's what it is.
I know, it's funny because she's like, I showed my teacher your band, I'm like, oh fuck, you know, it's probably like, fuck them all, you know, like as soon as you pull it up, you know, it's like, but who knows, but
that's cool. Wild. Well, yeah, a couple of years she could be working PR for you.
Exactly, man. Yeah, I think I'm raising a little rock star and exposing her to it and everything. And when we toured with like the band Community, she got to meet them, and that's one of her favorite bands. Like she gets to the access, you know, the backstage. Yes. And I want to grow her up in that and show her how easy it is. I think, you know, especially you guys probably remember when you're a kid and you find out like, wow, I can go see this band and there's only this many people there and like they'll talk to you. Like when you start realizing how accessible music is and how accessible going to concerts is and, you know, creating a scene, that's when, you know, the world really starts to open up, you know, driving the shows and doing that whole thing. So can't wait for her to get her license and go, you know, find her own music and create her own journey, you know?
Yeah. Is she really involved with your process of songwriting? Like, does she always want to listen to demos and whatever you've got going on?
Yeah, she does. Yeah. And it's funny because I don't know if she's like humoring me, but she's like, yeah, show me, you know? And she likes it. And she learns the words and sings along like before stuff's released and stuff. So it is nice. It's like that little extra, ooh, she likes it. Cool. As long as she likes it, you know, I can be happy.
Nice. Has she ever come to you and be like, no, Dad, I think we need to change the chorus. We need to.
Oh, man. It would be cool if she did, but she's a big yes girl. Even she's always like, yeah, this is awesome. This is awesome. She's like, that's not crazy. And I like, because I ask her questions about it too. Very encouraging. She's very encouraging.
You should test her. You should write the purposefully crap song and then be like, oh, what do you think of this? And when she's like, oh, that's really good. Listen, it's not good. Yeah. I need to teach you now.
That is awesome. That is awesome.
Speaking of the Taylor Swift party as well, I mean, very nice for Taylor to bring out a new album just for your daughter on that week. But how insane is it that she's name-checked the starting line, dude, and now everyone's freaking out about it?
I woke up and I was like, oh my God. Like what a, you know, there's moments in, you know, the music scene, whatever, emo, pop, punk, or whatever, when like the mainstream world somehow like has a voice in it. And I would have never fucking guessed the starting line of all bands that she brings up. It is fucking insane. It is awesome. And, man, and thank God for Maddie Healy for kind of, you know, I think he lifted that weight, didn't he? You know, like he's the reason why she really mentioned this thing. So it's like, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And man, now that bar, the Black Dog, I'm like, man, I gotta go there now. You know, apparently people are swarming that place being like, oh, that's the shit. I thought she should have said the Black Heart. Come on, you know, like, why the Black Dog? You know?
Yeah, she could have come to the Black Art in Camden.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, she should have named out that, you know, like, fuck, you know.
250 capacity venue down an alleyway in Camden, just full of T-Swift fans. That would be fucking insane.
It's fucking awesome, man.
Well, man, I really want to dive in to these last few years that we haven't talked to, because it seems like so much has happened. And just from like a business point of view, you know, you ended your tenure with Hopeless, then you went independent for a bit, and now you've got signed with Rude Records. I mean, there's been so much highs and lows in that time, but like away from the business stuff, how have you found this era of the Dangerous Summer, where I think maybe a lot more responsibility, a lot more of weight on your shoulders as adults, but still writing some of the best music you're doing and still having that connection to people?
Yeah, I mean, I think I can define like these years of, you know, like, so we caught up in 2019. I had just, you know, come back from the band after 5 years of a break. And I think the main theme is like, you know, obsession, you know, like we came back and we wrote, that first album. And then it was like, okay, I want to get back in the studio. I want to do it again. Like, I want to ride this ride again. And, just coming back, it's like I have this like fire inside of me where I feel like, man, I've got so much to say, such a story to tell. And I feel like, you know, it's a constant discovery of sound, and it's a constant exploring. And that's kind of what I've fallen in love with. Like, I never want to do the same thing twice. I never want to, you know, repeat myself. I think I'm falling in love with what it is to just find. And even when we're going on tour, I'm kind of like becoming crazy, even with my team, saying, you know, even my publicist, I was like, hey, like these rock publications, fuck them. Like, I, you know, like I want to be in like some weird magazine, like some whatever magazine. Hey, like any city we've played before, I just want to play new cities. Like I've been doing it so long where I'm like, anything new. Like I just want new experiences because that's what I realized all this is about. When you tour and you write albums, it really is in the heart of it, just finding new ground and finding who you are through it all. And just growth. So the Dangerous Summer has been a great vessel for me to grow. And also, yeah, as you're saying, aside from the music, as a business man, and man, we've been making some swift deals, making some good ka-ching, you know, like nice. I'm an artist just as much as I am a businessman, and just growing and learning how to make content, how to fit in into this TikTok world, how to fit into this Instagram real world. Which at first I was like, you know, Kurt Cobain's not on TikTok. You know, like if he was live yeah. today, like he wouldn't be like, what's up, guys? You know, so finding a voice in it that is genuine and finding a voice that makes sense for our audience and who we are as people has been a fun ride. And yeah, finding new ways to connect with the audience through that. And it's been a wild ride, you know, like this is an ever changing landscape. And even after COVID, it's like the things that change. Yeah. A lot more video now. Everyone's living life a lot differently now. And I learned that life is fucking short. So we all have to do whatever we love in life and follow our hearts to the end of time. Even if it kills us, we just need to do what we love and make it happen, you know. And these concerts, it's like, you know, everyone started to realize, hey, the world could shut down tomorrow. Go to that concert, take that vacation, live that life, start that business, write that song, you know, like just do it, because we're all gonna fucking die, man, you know?
And that's the quote for the episode. Nailed it. Yeah. We're all going to fucking die. That's it. We're all going to fucking die. Cut. Fucking perfect. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But from like a fan's point of view and someone who really dives into your material, like I was wondering, do you see the band in like these kind of different chapters, these different eras of like the original run, the reunion, and like the last few years, or is it all mixed in for you? Because like music sonically is a whole different thing, but like the way the world is changing and the things you've had to adapt with along with these kind of reunions and everything else in between, I'm sure it does kind of feel like different starting points in many ways.
Oh yeah, it definitely does. Yeah, there are like big chapters, and you know, obviously we've had people come into the band, come out of the band. We've had a lot of lineup changes, and it is hard to like keep those people in. It's like, man, for a band like us, I mean, we never really got big, you know, like we never really got, you know, like I don't know how it looks optically from outwards, but I feel like I've been the same size band for the past, you know, 15 years. I don't feel, you know, like it's like I'm still playing to like, you know, at the best like 500 people on a headliner somewhere in the world, whatever, and then, you know, 200 to 500 people anywhere in the world. That's kind of the thing that I say to people, like we draw like 200 to 500 people all over the world, which is like, it feels so weird. And I was talking to actually Derek from Mayday Parade about this too. He was like, man, I feel like we've been the same size band for 10 years. Like you kind of feel, wow, like I haven't done it yet, you know, like, and in my mind, it's like, there's this fire, there's this drive where you feel like, man, I haven't even done it yet. So you're almost just so desperately trying to just run through it all, like, and sometimes not even looking around to appreciate what it is at the time. But yeah, it's like, you're always looking forward. I think, you know, I'm such a crazy artist where I release these albums, then I'm like on to the next one, because I'm just like, okay, I'm chasing, I'm constantly chasing, constantly running for what it could be or what it should be. And I feel like even when I make albums, I'm like, ooh, that was pretty good, but next time I'm really going to get it, you know. And then the next time I'm like, okay, that was awesome, but next time I'm really going to get it, you know. And it's a nonstop forever thing, you know. But but yeah, it is theirs, and it's hard to make a set list right now because, you know, you take all of our singles from 7 albums, and that's like a 40-minute set, you know, so it's really hard. So you really have to figure out what people kind of like. I just go off Spotify. I'm like, that's how I make so sound like top songs of all time mixed with top songs in the last 28 days. Boom. That's a set list, you know, like, cause it's hard to like make everybody happy. You know, people are going to be mad no matter what, but it's an interesting thing. And I appreciate every era, you know, and some eras you look back on and you're like, wow, that was a really happy time, or that was a really sad time, or, you know, that was a struggling time. But yeah, it's all part of the story. Like, you know, the Dangerous Summer is just kind of like its own life, you know, and I'm just, I feel like I haven't even hit it yet. And we're just keep going, baby.
Good. Yeah. Good. Well, yeah, that's positive. And it's also inspiring because, yeah, I know how hard it is to get kind of jaded or like blasé and just be like, all right, well, I got to do this now. And, you know, band life, if you let it, it can technically become like Groundhog Day.
Oh, it can. Yeah.
Another venue, go in, set up, sound check, find food, find where the Wi-Fi password is, sit here for hours on the internet, play a show, try and calm down from a show, have a couple of beers, bed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you live off these highs from these really big shows, and then you play like the tiniest show, and you know, it sucks all the ego back out of you, and you're like, why? What is the thing there? Like, what happens there? And, you know, it is the highs and the lows, and, you know, and yeah, with albums, it's like, you know, you release an album, people are like, well, this isn't that album that I like. And you're like, yeah. I know. I mean, did you want that? Holy shit. Like, you want me to release another version of that? Like, and that's the thing is people don't know what they want. You gotta give them the unimaginable,
I think people listening to this will find it bizarre of that conversation you had with Derek of being like, I've always been the same size bands and can always attract those crowds. But like, you know, you've had big songs. You've had songs that have featured on films and TV shows and playlists and all that in between. But like, maybe in a different light, it's more of a blessing to know that you could put up a show anywhere and you have that core fan base come to see you rather than it be, oh, well, we can draw X amount in this place and only X amount in this place. Like, it's a weird mixture, this industry, of how that works. So,
I know it's very strange, you know, it's like, you know, it's almost like perspectives where it's like, yeah, you go to one city and they don't see the magic that you have, you know, and you're like, well, hey, when I was in London, they really like the way I am, you know, like, and you're like, why is that? You know, and it's fine. Like, that's perfectly how the world is. And truly, that's how music is. I think when you make music, it's kind of like you're casting a net out into the world to try to find your people. Like, our audience are people that, you know, there are people that they vibe with us, you know, they just, I don't know, there's a connection there. So you're casting a giant net across the world, and you kind of get surprised of where the people show up. It's like, whoa, these people in this city, wow, they really go hard for us. And I love that. How can we keep that up over the years? And, you know, things change, things move around. It you can't really hold on to it. The more you try to hold on tight to it, it just slips right out of your hands, you know. But I think that's some of the fun mystery involved with music. You know, it's just magical and crazy. And it's, if someone had to figure it out, you know, we would all be fucked and not be in the industry. You know, like, it's just, there's nothing you can figure out about. There's no way, there's no this, that. Even the managers, labels that say, I can make you big, they don't fucking know how to do it. Everyone's just trying to figure it out the best they can, you know?
Well, yeah, that's what I've discovered. Like, the last probably 10 years, I've realized that when I was a child, I thought adults knew everything and were infallible. And now, me and my friends are the adults, and we know fuck all. We know absolutely nothing. How has this happened? Like, how... Just even little things, like when you think, I know people who make aeroplanes, right?
Yeah.
And they party from Friday till Monday morning, right? They go to General Electric's and they go and make aeroplane engines where if you don't screw one bolt on tight enough,
yeah,
killed 400 people.
Exactly.
And now I'm terrified of flying. So, yeah, it's... yeah, we're just living in a weird thing of like, yeah, we're the adults now and what's going on? How the fuck has this happened?
I know, yeah. But I think there's the beauty in saying, hey, I don't know. It's the... You know, you really got to be afraid of the people in life that say they know. You know, like, not to get even like this with it, but, you know, like, people that are deeply involved in, like, religion and stuff, it's like, oh, you think you know? It's like, cool, dude. Like, must be nice to know it all. Like, wow. Like, you're so smart. You know, like, but the people that say they know it all, they're scared people. You know, it's like, this world is a mystery. And I think you need to surrender to the great mystery that it is and say, man, like, we all don't know. We're all just floating through here. Who knows what the fuck this place is or what we're doing here. But, hey, just put one foot in front of the other and do it, baby. Do it live, you know?
Yeah, literally. We're all winging it at the end of the day.
Fucking winging it, man, truly.
Yeah. Well, yeah, this podcast literally started with me going, Morgan, you do radio in Cardiff. You must have all the gear, and surely we can work it out to put it online. And then we turned up and got together, and we had none of the gear or the idea. So,
oh my God, that's so funny.
Here we are. We're still going.
Yeah, 6 years. Nearly 6 years. Nearly 6 years. It's nonsense now. Fucking sorry, everyone. Sorry.
How many episodes, you guys?
You're episode 283.
Holy shit. Well, congrats, man. Who are you going to have on for 300? You gonna do
every 300? Friday. It's been every Friday for 283 Fridays.
Wow, man.
For 300, we probably tried all the ones we usually try for. Basically, the three front men I've always wanted on is Daryl Plumbo. We've had Daryl Plumbo now from Glassjaw. Ed Automata, playing Slam Dunk. As well.
Oh,
so,
hell yeah. Oh, nice.
Can't wait for that. Mike Patton from Faith No More.
Okay.
He's not going to do it. And of course, New Metal Santa, Fred Durst.
Oh my God. Yeah. New Metal Santa. Yes.
I would love. Thing is, right? I've toured with Fred Durst. I've sent him numerous messages. He knows about me. I've sung with him on stage. I did an impression of him to him, right? But when I DM him to ask him to come on the podcast, he will like it, and that's it.
Oh, my God. That is awesome, man.
So fingers crossed one day, but who knows at this point.
I've even asked him to send me a clip just saying, fuck off. Oh, fuck off! I won't come on your podcast! Or whatever he wants to say. Like, he can say whatever he wants, and I'll use that, and that'll be enough.
Yeah.
But he hasn't even done that, the fucking prick.
Wow, so, damn.
One day,
we're going to make it happen. It's going to happen. It's going
to
happen.
I hope so. So, fingers if you know anyone who knows Fred Durst, give him a poke for me. Because
He is the legend. Man, that would be a fun fucking conversation.
If it ever happens.
Well, yeah, it's like, I don't have to talk about the film he did with John Travolta that only sold 300 tickets the first week. I don't want to talk to him
about that. What is that?
So he did a film. He directed a film, Frederick Durst did, starring Jonathan Travolta, a Scientologist. And he was like, he plays like a stalker in the film, John Travolta, the Scientologist. It sold like 3,000 maybe tickets the first week. It might have been 300. I'm sure it was a very low number the first week. And now I think that's a good reason why he doesn't do press.
Holy shit, man. Wait, is this recent? This is recently.
Last two years.
I didn't hear anything about that.
But also, us mentioning this doesn't help our chances either. So let's quickly move on.
But my point is, I won't mention it. I won't mention anything bad either. I will literally, I've said this in a message. Come on my podcast and I will rim you for an hour. That's all it's going to be.
I love it.
Oh, we'll see.
I wouldn't have got into rock music if I hadn't heard Hot Dog and him swearing 46 times in that fucked up rhyme.
Fuck yeah, man.
Here we are.
But speaking of winging it, AJ, I mean, how different would you say your perspective is on music, on the industry, and just on life now compared to like that first 5 years of the band's first run?
Wow. I think oddly, like I became more open and I don't know, less like, I feel like I started out jaded in a way. Like I started out kind of cocky and like almost like, you know, I loved Brand New, you know, Jesse Lacey. I loved fucking, you know, Steven Jenkins from Third Eye Blind, Caleb from Kings of Leon. I had very like bad idols in a way where they were just the rock star asshole fucker. So I was like, I need to be an asshole. Like we had a moment even like, you know, in the Around the Reach of Sun era where we were friends with this band called the Friday Night Boys, and they were older than us. They were on Fueled by Ramen back in the day. But they were like, yeah, man, like when you go to parties, you got to fuck shit up. Like, you know, like, and when you go in the backstage, you got to just destroy the green rooms. And we had like this moment where we were like, wow, that's what we do. And like, we were kids. We were like 20 years old, 19, 20 years old. We couldn't even buy alcohol in the States. And we were just like, yeah, like we kind of had this attitude like, oh, we're the shit. We're going to fucking do this. And then you realize you're like, I was such a little shithead. I was a piece of shit. Like, you know, like you grow up and you're like, what the fuck was I thinking? And to just become such the opposite where, you know, I always say I died and was able to be risen again. Like, you know, when your band breaks up and you sit at a 9-to-5 for 5 years and you're like getting the cheese grater, the salt's eating away at you. And you're like, man, I'd do anything for one more moment on that stage. And then you get called back into it, you know, first tour back, Moose Blood sold out, Roundhouse, like, and you're like, oh damn, I appreciate it. Like I will savor every second. I will drink this juice. And it is funny because we came back and we saw so many bands that had kept going and they were just dead. You know, like they had been around the world 5 times and you see people at the end of their life and you're like, man, like you guys are so good. I know you're tired. Like you see these like tired soldiers, like, that have went to war and they've fallen, they're all bloody and tired, and you know, just coming back into it. I was like, man, I need to make sure I never have that again, that tired, that, you know, take care of myself, take care of the balance so that I remember to always cherish this and always believe in it. And you know, it's a very precious thing to be able to still release records and, you know, like, and still have a fan base and still, you know, the fact that I get to do this for a living is like, God damn it. Like, it's incredible. I'm so grateful and I suck the dick of this, you know, like I love it so much. So appreciative. So I think I did a kind of backwards thing. I started out really kind of a dickhead in a way, and I really got myself handed to me, and it was the most beautiful thing that could have ever happened, you know.
Yeah. Have you had many conversations with people like peers in the scene and similar bands about those kind of things, about like the jaded times and the ups and downs? Because, you know, you're a band who have collaborated, especially the last few years, with a lot of your musical idols and a lot of other people you respect in the scene. I wonder, like, has there been those times where the light's gone off and you guys have kind of talked to each other and had these chats?
Yeah, I mean, it's so much, you know, like, and yeah, especially like, yeah, Derek from Mayday Parade, like I was saying, and it's nice to like talk with people like that and be like, how do you feel? Like, you know, and him telling me that, man, it feels frustrating that, hey, he feels like it's been the same for a long period of time. Man, when we were coming back, Man Overboard was kind of, they were one of those bands that had been around the world 100 times and you could see them tired, and talking to them, they were just like, man, like, I just want to go home. Like, you know, also I think what people don't realize is even the bands that look big, I mean, there's not much money in this world, you know, like in this industry, like, you know, the ones that are really hitting it, I mean, they're probably making as much as teachers or something, you know, like, and no offense to teachers. I mean, I always just use that as like a standard, like, you know, they're making like, hey, bare minimum to live. They're coming home with enough and they're on the road for fucking 6-7 months out of the year or whatever it is. And it can kind of feel like, man, it's just not worth it, you know? And yeah, the constant trying to chase this thing. And I think also when you release albums, and it's like a lifting process when you make an album, you lift it. And when I was younger too, I always used to think, this is the album, man. Like, oh my God, the songs are so good. Like, this is the one, man. We're going to get big and everything's going to be okay. But there's never that moment, and there will never be that moment. It, you know, music is more like water. It's just like, it just flows, it flows, it goes. And you need to just constantly be making and constantly just doing your thing, keeping your head down and doing your thing. Don't try to look for something too much out of it. You know, like it's something where, you know, you got to do it for yourself. You got to do it for the love of everything. And, you know, the people will come. If you build it, they will come, you know, like, so I think it's one of those things, you know. And I was actually talking to Stan Atlantic recently too at Sad Summer Fest, and man, they've been hitting it hard. They've been hitting it so hard, and they definitely seem tired, but they're still fucking ripping. But man, that band, they tour all over the world nonstop, especially, man, those bands from Australia, like, they like go crazy. Them and With Confidence, man, like, they're from Australia, so they got a tour everywhere else most of the time. It's a really fucked situation, and a lot of them like end up moving to America at points in time and stuff. But you really got to feel for those people that, you know, most of their work is done outside of their home. You know, it's fucking tough, man. It's a tough industry, and anyone who can last even a little bit in it, you know, it's hats off to you, you know. Holy shit, you know, it's not for the faint of heart at all.
Well, like you said then, when you talk about Man Overboard and stuff, and they'd been constantly touring while you were away, that's one of the things I try and tell bands. Like, if I hear bands are considering breaking up, I'm like, don't, please don't. Just do a hiatus, take a break, because I promise you, as soon as it's gone, you'll be fucking gutted and you will miss it. And then I did it. Basically, I started this podcast crying about the fact that I was no longer in the blackout.
And now,
like, I just want it back. I spent fucking 6 years fucking begging to get it back. And now I've got it back. And it's the shows have been fucking everything I could have possibly have hoped for. And I just tell bands, just go on a hiatus. Don't break up completely. Try not to, because you'll get the fucking itch and the bug.
Exactly.
Yeah, I heard online, speaking of Stand Atlantic, I heard a rumor, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, and I don't know if it's true, but Bon might be fronting Linkin Park? Is that?
Yeah, I see. Oh. That's done the rounds, but
if that's true, that's huge. But wow, whoa,
yeah, she's responded saying that she's not. She's not. But I mean, I'd
that'd
say
be
I'm
a
not
big
too.
Look.
If I
that'd be a big look, because they're gonna replace, right? They're gonna put a singer up there, right?
Yeah, wow. Chester Bonington.
There it is.
Damn! Have you been saving that one?
No, I did just came. I was gonna do Bonster Bennington, but I was like, the lad doesn't. Oh wait, he's got Ben, but oh, easy pun. Yes. But I read that online, so I hope it's true, because I like it very much and I like Linkin Park a lot. So that would be fantastic.
Amen. Yeah, man, and I just saw Stan Atlantic's new cover. Holy shit, that is wild with the blood spattered across. Like, that is a cool fucking album cover. That is great, man. That is like it. They're hitting it. They're doing it, man. They're doing it.
Yeah, they're wonderful people as well. Beautiful people.
But I do think, you know, the time, again, we talk about the age of Spotify. It's like, you know, again, it's unprecedented. We haven't lived in a time where music lives forever like this. Like, we don't know what that feels like, where it's like, you could have released a song like 7-8 years ago and it just blows up. I mean, like, it's going to be like the hieroglyphics one day, you know, like our song's going to live forever, you know, like it's going to be somewhere like just going through time and people are going to pull them out at different times. And it is something that who knows, you know? And I know, like, when we signed to Rude Records, like, I don't know if they ever like did this hedge fund thing. They were talking to these hedge fund people where, you know, Spotify, it's like the Wild West now, but it's like, think about 30 years from now, like it's projected to be, everyone's going to be on Spotify in 30 years. So it's like, even your music now, like you can triple the numbers right now, just for valuation standpoint, because man, this is just the beginning. When all the old people die that don't know what Spotify is, and you know, our generation are super old, and it's just, there's billions of people streaming music on Spotify and Apple Music, like it is going to be crazy. So like we're kind of lucky to be at the beginning of the Spotify time. I think there's going to be some kind of very interesting like thing of like, almost like we were in there for the gold rush at the beginning of this monetary thing of music. And so who knows, who fucking knows what's going to happen, but to have, fingers, you know, crossed. My grandkids are going to be getting penny royalties here and there, you know, it's going to be crazy.
Yeah,
that's true.
That's true. Mad.
Yeah. Do you know what I miss though? I miss when you used to buy a CD and then the last track would be 15 minutes long. And you're like, why is there 8 minutes of silence? And then another song would come out at the end that no one knew about.
Yeah, Spotify needs to come out with like a feature like that where you can have a hidden track, you know, like that just... Yeah, remember like the negative tracks were like a track
minus
only
one.
Yeah, that was really cool. That was like mind blowing technology.
Did Korn, I think Korn had one of them. I think Korn had a minus one.
Yeah, they did, man. Blink-182 did it like a couple times, you know. Yeah, really.
Oh, yeah. One. I remember a scary one of those. The Verve album, Urban Hymns. So I was listening to that when I was like 16 with my first girlfriend. We were listening to that album and we were having a pregnancy scare, right? Which is definitely definitely terrifying when you're 16.
Yeah.
And we had listened to the Verve Urban Hymns album. And after the last song, there was 8 minutes of silence and we didn't know any of this, right?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, like a radio tuning sound happens. So we thought a radio had come alive, right? And then during the radio sounds, there's a crying baby noise.
Oh, shit.
I was like, oh, good. This is a sign from God. He's tuned the radio to tell us that we're definitely pregnant.
Shit. So good.
Yeah, and it turns out it was just the Verve being twats. Nice one, the Verve.
Wow. And are you sure she didn't secretly have the baby? I mean, it might still exist. There might be a baby.
God, no. Oh, no. She would definitely... If she had a baby, I would 100% know about it because she would have never have let me fucking not do the end of it. So luckily for me and the Verve, there was no baby.
Wow. Good shit.
Luckily for the Verve. Wow. Well, AJ, as we start to wind down on the conversation a little bit, I mean, obviously, you're someone who's always just writing music at the moment, and this new album now, Gravity, comes out June 21st. You've put out some of the singles already, and the reaction, it's just, I don't know how to word this, but it's always the same reaction, you guys, where people just feel that these songs are so atmospheric and that they connect with them on a whole other level. I've seen people comment that they listened to Gravity for the first time and they felt like this was a song that's being in their brains forever. How does it feel for you when you put new music out now and you have those reactions and seeing the differences in just what it means to people from the get-go?
Man, it's incredible. And it's one of those things where, yeah, you kind of, you can't really control. And again, you don't even know what songs are ever going to work or not going to work. Again, the not knowing is a big theme of everything. Like, I think when we make music, we just give 110%, like everything inside of us just to the song and specifically for the song. And you know, like we try not to let the noise of the world affect us. Like when this album came out, or when we were writing this album, Coming Home came out the week we were in the studio making this album, because we're fucking maniacs, you know, like, but it was, you know, we read some of the comments during the record and, you know, you'd get this random, like, negative comment. And I'd be like, oh, you think that? Like, hold my beer, motherfucker. And so, like, there was a little bit of fire on this album just because, you know, like, I was reading some of the stuff of what people are saying about the last record and whatnot. But, yeah, you can never really tell. And also it's like, you know, you almost had to like separate yourself from all of it, because there's a thing where it's like, you know, when people have an emotional reaction to a song, it's kind of like such of their own experience where, you know, someone's telling you, man, this song means the world to me, man, this. You know, whether they were on the beach at 8 a.m. as the sun was coming out, they had a religious moment. They realized, I need to move back to the city and fucking do all this shit. They have these like really profound moments in their life. And, you know, like you almost want to tell them, like, I don't know what you mean because I wasn't there. And I don't have the perspective you have, but I do know what you mean because that's the way I feel about. I know songs of mine that I love, of, you know, artists that I love. I know what it feels like for a song to mean like so fucking much to you, and for you to really need a song. Like, man, like songs come from the universe and they hit you at the time you need it. And people are having these profound religious experiences to music, and I have them too. And it's very crazy. It's, you know, we're dealing with magic here. So it's very just wild. You know, you have to kind of separate yourself from it. It's kind of their, you know, this, they start taking the songs and making it theirs, and they find these little lyrics where you're like, wow, I didn't mean that, but that's really fucking cool that you feel that way about that song. Like, whoa, that blows my mind. And they take it and they make a new life for it. And you're like, whoa, like took this and made it better than what I could have ever imagined it to be. So when the world starts to absorb it, you feel the energy change and you feel the songs become this other thing. And it's really cool. I'm addicted to that feeling too. It's a really cool feeling, you know?
And all you kind of need at the moment, I was talking to my friend the other day, and he tour manages a band, a Welsh band called Los Campesinos, who are kind of like an indie band. And they've had like a second lease on life now, because there's a Twitch streamer that loves them, and he gets 150,000 viewers. And some days he wears a Los Campesinos t-shirt. Some days he's learning Los Campesinos songs. And literally, wow, that's all it takes nowadays. This is why I tell bands not to break up and just be on hiatus, is because if someone who loved your band ends up somehow, I don't know, becoming fucking a giant Twitch streamer, or that's all it takes, is one of them to love your band now. And then.
Exactly. It is fucking wild, man. It is unreal. Man, it's crazy. Next week we're playing. We're going to the south of France. There's this really wealthy guy that his wife, who he's marrying in the south of France, is she's a fan of The Permanent. He's like, man, she plays this song over and over again. I don't know what it is, you know. And he's just like, he's flying us over there. So Mariah Carey's also playing the wedding, and Boyz II Men are also playing the wedding. So it's Mariah Carey, Boyz II Men, and us, you know, playing this wedding, like. That in the south of France, like, you know, us punk boys, like, I don't even know what I'm going to fucking wear to this thing. Good fucking Lord.
Yeah. Boyz II Men, The Dangerous Summer, and Mariah Carey together at last. Finally. I have been saying for years, we need a Mariah Carey opening, Boyz II Men main support, Dangerous Summer headline tour. Let's make it.
Insane.
You've got to try and make that happen.
On I know, Mariah. Yeah.
Mariah! December!
I like to imagine it's like one of those celebrity parties where everyone starts covering songs. We're like covering some classic song, you know, like Dave Grohl and Taylor Swift up there fucking ripping it. You know, like, yeah. I'm hoping it turns into that, but we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, Mariah Carey walks on doing your set, and she's like, can you do the Christmas song I do? And you're like, I got no idea!
Well, the funniest part was, like, he was like, we don't know any other songs other than the one, so we just play, like, three songs, and just, like, that's cool. So we're just going to fly there, play three quick songs, and then, bam, we're out. You know?
Wow. Class. I can't get over that. That is absolutely insane. Is that the weirdest gig offer you've ever had?
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Yeah. It's fucking wild. It came out of nowhere. And, And what's funny is, so like, we're playing like by this pool. And so the first song's going to play, and they're like, what's the tempo to the next two songs? Cause we're going to have a fireworks show that goes to the two songs. Like, so they're going to start shooting off fireworks during it. Wow. And stuff. And And so I was like, if they don't know us, I was like, let's cover Mr. Brightside. We're going to cover Mr. Brightside. Like, we're going nice. To fuck around. We're going to have some fun, you know?
That's awesome. But how did they get in touch with your booking agent? Or was it just like an email, random email to the booking agent?
Yeah, I don't know if you know Liam, but yeah, they hit him up and we're like, hey, like, can we make this happen? And we were like, holy shit, this is wild, man. And yeah, his wife's like a supermodel and stuff, and it's crazy, dude. It's gonna be pretty interesting, you know. Yeah.
Oh, it's gonna be horrible. Think of all the really beautiful supermodel guests that are gonna be there as well. Oh.
I know, yeah.
Yuck.
Well, the thing is, like, man, I was telling my bank, because you know we don't have like nice clothes or anything, but I'm like, rich people love rock stars. They do, you know, like they love the lifestyle. They're down. You know, you can wear just ripped up jeans. And they're like, I get it. You know, they understand. They understand. Yeah. They're cool. So hopefully we can get away looking like slobs, you know, out there.
Well, think about Robert the Zombie. He's just had years of just been covered in dust, haven't he? So, and he gets away with it. So people just love rocks. Yeah. You could go literally smelling. And people will be like, that's rock and roll.
Like you've probably seen it too. When you're on tour and you smell like shit, your hair's all greasy, like girls are like, damn. And you're like, whoa, like, wow. Like you like that? Like, holy shit, man. There's some weird aroma behind the shittiness, you know?
I just can't wait to see this Mariah Carey Boys to Men Dangerous Summer selfie. That's going to... Come on, man.
I'm going to make sure it's going to happen, man. It's going to be fucking fun. Man.
I will cry laughing if I see a photo of you with Mariah Carey. That will be fucking amazing.
Right, if you get that photo, make it merch for Slam Dunk.
That's genius. That is fucking genius. I love that.
That is 10%. Thank you. Nice. Well, Morgan can get a 10%.
That's what I should,
Fucking, I gotta write Mariah Carey down.
Mariah Carey, man.
Wow. With all that as well, man, I mean, as I said, you're always creating. And I know that you've got a few other projects, and you've lately been doing this thing where you've been open to more of featuring on other people's music and getting involved that way. So if you have anything on that side to plug or tell us about, please do.
Yeah, man. So I got my side project, Broken Glow Sticks. And again, like, man, I'm reaching this point where, you know, my management and my labels, like, stop writing music. Like, you know, kind of. Like, they're like, hey, like, we can't release another album for another certain amount of time. So I do my side project, Broken Glow Sticks, to release stuff in between. And I'm going to have an EP actually coming out during this album cycle. I'm like, hey, Vrew Records is paying a marketing campaign for Dangerous Summer. I'm going to release an album during it as well under Broken Ballistics. So fuck it. So I'm going to have a EP coming out during this time. And then, I've always done kind of, you know, a thing where I write with people, smaller bands, and I feature on, you know, like I learned this from Samuel L. Jackson. Samuel L. Jackson, he says, hey, if you pay me to act, I'm going to act. I'm a fucking actor. So I do guest features for $350 a pop. I do top line vocals for $500 a song. I just I love working. So during the day, you know, I treat my job like a 9-to-5 job. I have my studio here. So people send me tracks. I work on them, send them back. And it's a good way to make money when I'm home. And it's a good way to like just connect and get really sharp at what I do. I learned so much and just writing songs, and you know, again, I'm forever trying to figure out what this all means, the great mystery of music. So it's nice to work with people. So if anyone wants to work with me, ajperdomo.com, thedangeroussummer.us for music, and we got a new album, Gravity, coming out June 21st, baby. Day of summer. This will be the summer album that you put on, you get high with your friends and driving the car with the windows down and just live it up, baby.
Nice.
It sounds like it, man. It sounds like it. Well, we are super excited to hear it, and we can't wait to hang out with Slam Dunk. It's going to be a hell of a two days.
I'm going to find you guys.
Please do.
I can't wait for the blackout. So then I'm going to run over Mallory Knox.
You're going to be waiting at the front for Mallory Knox. I know how it is. It's fine. There's 2 days. Look, there's 2 days, so you can choose a band a day. There you go.
I'm going to make sure I crowd surf during your set. You'll see me. You'll see me just coming up here.
All right, then.
I promise you.
I will come and find you. Yeah, that'd be brilliant. But yeah, let's have a chat at Slam Dunk as well for the podcast. That would be fantastic.
Yeah, we can talk about the wedding. We'll do the update.
Yes.
Well, you might be married to Mariah by then. Like,
hey, if she's down, let her know. I'm coming. I'm coming for her.
I hope her people don't listen to this because, imagine they're like, we got to get them kicked off that gig. He sounds like he's really into Mariah. Yeah. We're only joking, Mariah's people. We're only joking. It was a joke.
Oh, my God.
Thank you so much. And yeah, we'll see you at Slam Dunk.
Thank you. All right, I love you guys, man. Party on.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Yes, that was the beautiful AJ Perdomo of The Dangerous Summer. I've gone slow motion again. I don't know why that's happened twice. Yeah.
Buffering.
I know what
buffering,
it was.
Buffering, that's what it is.
Last night, I watched the best moments of PWG, right? Which is Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, right? For anybody who doesn't know. It's a company based out of LA, I guess. I don't know, that does wrestling promotions. And they've literally filtered through all the best wrestlers in the world that are now in WWE and AEW and TNA came through via PWG. And it's got the funniest moments of PWG. And there's a bit where they do slow motion wrestling and it's 10 minutes long. And it's the crowd starts chanting in slow motion. So they'd be like, Kenny Omega. And it's fucking genius. The fact that it's one thing for the wrestlers to do it and like wrestling slow motion, but for everybody, the whole place to be like, do you know what? We're all in slow motion. Absolute brilliant genius. And I'm gutted that I never got to go to one in that very room, which my friend Scott did. So I'm jealous of him.
Oh, fair play. But that explains a lot then. That explains what's going on right now.
I'm in a very silly mood. Yeah.
Very nice to reconnect with AJ. So many stories, so many just friends we have in common and just incredible experiences that you can't get from anywhere else. That random wedding in France is going to be insane, and we definitely need to follow up on it because who gets booked for those kind of things? But of course, Slam Dunk Festival, they'll be playing, and there'll be a host of headline shows around it. May 20th, they're in Plymouth, followed by Sheffield, Guildford, Southampton, and then Hatfield and Leeds for Slam Dunk. And the new album, Gravity, is available for pre-order now. It's coming out June 21st, but you can get loads of different vinyl rarities and variations and all this if you head over to their website and check all of that out. So lovely, lovely, lovely stuff. We did talk about clashes at Slam Dunk. During
the clasher at Slam Dunk. Oh, carry on.
Secret set, man. Shush.
Oh, yeah, I shouldn't have said anything. Sorry, Ben.
I just want everyone to understand that there's another clash going on, and it really
shows my loyalty and my love and respect for this podcast and for you, Sean, because Hatfield now clashes with the FA Cup final. So
Manchester United haven't got to a cup final, have they?
Yeah, they've only got
done it. Fucking hell.
I know, right?
So they've been 45 years or whatever it's been. Yeah, remember when they used to be a dominant force in football and then they just went, shit, yeah, all of a sudden. That was mad, wasn't it?
I kind of do.
Well, of course you do. Yeah, of course you do. You were there. Yeah. I'm not saying you were the cause of it, but when you started going to games, it does seem like that's when...
They've gotten worse and worse. Yeah, of course.
So what you're saying is you were going to pick Manchester United over Slam Dunk.
No, I was going to pick Slam Dunk over Manchester United. That sells how much...
You got a phone, haven't you?
Well, my point was going to be... If anyone has really amazing signal at Slam Dunk, come and stand next to me so I can watch you play and watch the game at the same time, please. Because the kickoff's at 3 p.m. You're on a 3:20.
Oh, fuck off. I reckon Ben Ray's purposely done that. What a fucking bastard. I know what I'll do. I'll push on the same time as the FA Cup final, the fucking whinging prick. Nice one, Ben. Oh, I'm fucking tamping, no?
I was going to ask if we could get a projector and, like, you project the game onto the stage. But Snoz wouldn't have that. If I had on the drum kit or behind him, yeah, he wouldn't have that at all, would he? Like, so.
No, he would just have Liverpool's greatest hits, which is 1970s football, I believe. So, yeah. No, we could possibly have the game going while we're playing. Oh. That'd be terrible.
Fine.
Yeah, sorry about that.
I'll have to watch you and be supportive then, it's fine.
It's all right, I don't give a fuck if you do or not, whatever. You go support your fucking Manchester United. They need him more than I do.
Hey!
He says now, playing to half a crowd later on, because Manchester United, I'm fucking Mallory Knox, all the M's have fucking come out of, M&M have come out of retirement to fucking piss me off perfectly. Well, I'm Mikey Chapman. You are God, because you found the perfect way to fucking... tamper with me. That sounds weird. Sorry about that. I didn't mean to say that. Tamper. That sounds strange. Anyway, please, can we move on? Can we move on, please?
Yeah, it's such a fucking rad rant. Anyway,
if you
enjoy what we do and you want even more of this chaos.
Why would you fucking enjoy what?
Please,
it's fucking mental.
patreon.com/sapnin. Over there, there's a whole community of beautiful people that we literally are lucky to call friends and interact and hang out with. We're going to be doing meetups at all these festivals. So get involved at patreon.com/sapnin. If you head to the description of this episode, there's loads of names that we thank there. But as always, Sean's going to give a massive shout out to the members to the top members and the elite bastards. I've messed that up, but go with it.
Oh, the elite bastards, the EB. Thank you very much. And he said, happy birthday. Thank you. Happy birthday to absolutely no one, but thank you very much. Kylie Wheeler, Mayumi, Paul Hirschfield, Scarlett Charles, Nathan Croshaw, Mitch Perry, who will enjoy next week's episode. Tony Michael, Dilly Califragilistic, XPL Grimwood, Liam Connolly, Amy Louise, Molly Malloy, James Powerbank, Kat Best, and Alexandra Pembledon. Nothing minor, doesn't need a bassist anymore. He hasn't changed his name, but they've got a bit. They've got a basis now. I like to think it's because of us. It's probably not, but I will be claiming that. Thank you very much, Jonathan Gutierrez. I'd like some more coffee. Thank you very much, Jerry Robson, Amy Dawson, Muddy Grimwood, Scott Jones, Stuart McNaught, Ellen Selfield, Callie Robson, Stephen Aston, Kate Puttock, Jenny Munster, Carl Pendlebury, Louis Cook, James McNaught, John and Emma, Jason Heredia, Danny Eaton, Martina McManus, Sean Foynes, Thomas O'Neill, Evan, Dan Peregrine, Ollie Amesbury, Emily Perry, who will also enjoy next week's podcast. Thank you very much. Kalila Keane, Adam King of the Goth Parcel, Sophie Ansell, Josh, I ordered a chicken and an egg from Amazon. I'll let you know, crisp. He hasn't changed it from last week. Thank you very much. Lavender Lee Martin, Vicky, Laura Russell, Fraser Cummins, James, the Kyle Smith, and last but no means least, Con Lewins and family.
Woo! We appreciate all of you. You are the greatest humans on planet Earth. Thanks for sticking with us throughout the rant. We have a festival announcement that is now live up on our Instagram at SapninPod. Go and check that out. And we'll be back next week and every Friday with more special guests, Rants Mayhem, and a beautiful guest that we can guarantee that at least 5 of you are going to cry about.
Oh, I cried during it. So it was that fun that I literally shed a tear. One of the funniest things we've ever done. I wasn't expecting it as well. I was expecting to be surprisingly serious, but I've given away the agenda. Anyway, I'm going. Sapnin!
Sapnin!
There's nothing more I needed to do with it, was there? Just shout Sapnin. Sapnin! Just in case.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.